In Randolph County and for miles around, everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ransparta means WHCO.
For folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know.
From Real Country 1230 WHCO, time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. Hope you're having a good day. Talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Older. How are you doing?
Very well, Jeff. Good morning. It's always nice to have a chance to come in and say a few words about some of the things that are going on around Randolph County.
Yeah, a little warmer day than it has been.
Last week was pretty chilly. winter came in a little sooner than I was hoping for, and hopefully this is not a preview of what's to come.
All right. Someone put the order in too soon.
Very much too soon. I think we need last week more for January than we do for now.
Definitely.
But we're going into Thanksgiving weekend, and of course that's always a good time of the year, getting into the holidays. I always enjoy those, and of course I always enjoy any holiday that's built around eating food, because that's always enjoyable as well. But we're also, for Randolph County's point of view, we're rapidly approaching the year end of Randolph County. Randolph County's year ends on November 30th, and you might have heard me mention that before in the past. And so our last official board meeting for this cycle, this two-year cycle, will be on Wednesday of this week. Mm-hmm. Thursday and Friday, of course, are holidays, and the courthouse is closed, so it actually comes early this week, and we'll meet at 9 o'clock on Wednesday of this week. And then the next meeting we'll go be back to will be December 1st, which is the first day of our new year. That will be when the people who were elected, including myself, at November 8th of this month, will be sworn into office. And that will be the first day of the new fiscal year. And our board meeting will be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, as we will be finishing up finalizing the budget for the next year with our accountants, certified public accountants that'll be in town. And we'll be finalizing that with them and enacting that budget on December 1st around 3:30 in the afternoon. So the next meetings are a little bit different than normal, the one being this Wednesday at 9 a.m. and then the next one being December 1st, which would be the beginning of the new year with the new elected officials in office. So right now, because that's the case, I'm spending a lot of time preparing on the budget and working, getting it ready, going through many of the different aspects of it. And there's several changes. One big change is in the judicial aspect. I don't know if you've taken notice, one of those things that doesn't really make the headline news that much, but created roughly 2 years ago, was the new 24th Judicial Circuit. Randolph County, Randolph, Monroe, Perry, and Washington were split away from St. Clair County. And we were the 20th Judicial Circuit, and St. Clair County took care of most of the activities related to the courts. Now we have a new 24th Judicial Circuit that is just going to be Monroe and Randolph, Perry and Washington. So that will all begin on December 5th, the Monday after December 1st. So that takes the place and begins officially then. So in the budget, we have to put in new items and line items in the budget for probation and different offices related to the courts that we will now be responsible for, that in actuality were handled at the St. Clair County level. So that's a large change in the operation of what we're doing. And there's a few others that we're working on, but we're working through those aspects. And that will include some reimbursements from the state of Illinois, et cetera, related to those. We're not exactly sure how it'll all shake out at this point in time, but Many of the things are relatively predictable, like probation salaries and those types of things that we now have to budget for that we didn't have to budget for before.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we got a break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in.
Okay.
And we will come back and talk some more with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. 9:36. And again, this is The People Speak. Again, I'm Jeff. And I hope your day is going well this morning. Talking with Randolph County Commissioner Dave Holder, and we're talking, the budget year coming up and about ready to wrap up.
Yes, we're working on the budget right now. I'm pushing through it, and we've already posted our preliminary, which was taking place on the 14th. Basically, a week ago today, I posted the preliminary, because you have to have that up 2 weeks in advance, and then the final version of it, the draft, will be put together on December 1st, the morning of December 1. That's when we'll take a look at the final numbers to see, you know, I always say to get down to what stays and what doesn't make the cut, depending on what we project our revenues to be. So that we're preparing for that, and that will all take place on December 1st. And I'd mentioned earlier that we do have a meeting Wednesday this week because of the holidays coming up. In other items going on around the county, of course, I'm sure most people have heard now that the care center referendum did pass, which gives us the opportunity to transfer the operations of the care center into a newly created entity and then begin our renovations, et cetera, on that facility. We're in the process of working on that as well. There were several meetings held last week. It'll be very difficult to get much done in the next 2 weeks.
Right.
Because you're working around the holidays and the year end. So it'll probably be after the 1st of December before we really get going on it. But we're in the process of determining just exactly how that entity will look legally, how it's going to be farmed, put it together, get the necessary information for it. Then you can begin the process of transferring the care center into it. There is quite a bit more than what you'd anticipate on the operations, because, you know, there's actual licensing and notices that have to be filed with, you know, many different organizations as to how it's being set up, such as Medicare, Medicaid, Illinois Department of Public Health, etc. They have to all be notified and prepared, and so it takes a while for that to physically happen. In the interim, while we're working on that, we also began discussions with the architect. They're taking a look at laying out the plans as in order to have them ready for bid proposals. You need details on what, you know, companies will actually bid on to do, what equipment's going to be needed, et cetera. So it's going to take a while to put together a timetable and a schedule of how they will walk through it. And you have to, at each stage, you have to notify Illinois Department of Public Health so they can review it. So It'll take a period of time. It'll probably be, I always like to be optimistic, but I think it'll be spring before you actually start turning a shovel full of dirt, so to speak.
Right.
Just a very realistic point of view, because it just takes that much time in order to follow through and get all these different aspects done. And you want to make sure you move very carefully on them. You don't want to rush the process and miss something that will later on come back to be a problem. As much as possible, you want to make sure you're including everything that's necessary. But we are moving forward, and I was happy to see it go that way. Of course, I know all the people that work there and reside there, of course, were very happy as well. It's been something that has needed to be addressed for 10, 20 years, really. When you think of the facilities being 70 years old, you know, and there have been some improvements and modifications made, but nothing to this extent. So this is something that is definitely behind schedule and something that needed to be done for a number of years. So it looks like we're going to get the opportunity to do that and set it up in a fashion where it can continue to operate on into the next generation, free and clear from Randolph County, the issues of being owned by Randolph County, a county owned, into an independently operated community facility. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're working towards. And which makes very good sense in order to do it. It's just a matter of working through those issues.
Right. You mentioned turning a shovel. Road work, I guess, is kind of wrapping up. Road work
is pretty well wrapped up for the year. We've completed the last two bridges that we worked on. There are no bridges on schedule for next year. There will be some resurfacing projects that we're working on in the budget. We have a new dump truck that we're going to need to get in there for the highway department. There's always several vehicles that you have to get in. You don't really think about some of the things that Randolph County does, but they have 18 to 20 vehicles. So even if you get a 5-year life out of one of them, you're buying, you know, 3-4 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes time to budget for those and determine what's going to be needed. It's many of those things are take place behind the scenes. They're not very exciting. They don't make front page news by any means, but they're things that we have to set back and work on and carefully calculate in order to determine, you know, what's going to be required. I was looking at some emails just this morning before I came in here of the different aspects that we need to revise the budget for, anticipated overtime for the sheriff's department, anticipated, what's known as longevity and those types of things. And so we're continuing to refine those, what will be anticipated health insurance costs, benefits for employees. That's always a very large one. You're working on those items right on up until the time that you have to actually, you know, finalize it and move forward with it. There's always different ones going on.
So, okay. We'll get another break here. Go ahead and throw that in real quick.
Sure.
And we will come back and talk some more with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. Got some time left in the program today talking with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. And we talked about several things. There's other stuff going on around the county, though. You mentioned something about Prairie to Rocher.
Yes, Prairie to Rocher's out there, and it's something that's going on. About 2 weeks ago, there was a press conference down there, and I want to highlight, you know, what took place with the Prairie to Rocher School. And it was in the paper and everything, but it's always worth mentioning that during the pandemic and before COVID, there was a lot of, you know, difficulties in schools. And the school at Prairie to Rocher set out to do some significant improvements to their curriculum, and not closing through the pandemic, but staying open as much as possible through that period of time. They were actually able to raise their test scores and bring all their students up considerably from where they had been before. And that was a very significant improvement in what is unique in that time period. During the COVID time period, every other school, or most other schools, I shouldn't say every, most schools saw declines in their test scores and student achievement and keeping up with grade levels. But the Prairie to Rocher grade school actually showed improvements, and they improved from before the pandemic to after the COVID pandemic. And that was very, very much worth noting, in the fact that they took a different approach than other schools, you know, had taken. And they were showcasing local control for the Prairie to Rocher school, which of course we have here in Randolph County. Most of our schools are locally controlled, although they are influenced somewhat by the state as to how that improved over more of a state type control. And of course I'm in full agreement with that concept, but it was just nice to see a very good news story on something like that. And to see, of course, the local dignitaries to come in and announce it and announce the improvements they had made and how things had improved. So I was very happy to see that. That was a very good improvement. Is very much moving forward. Also, in the same process, it gave us a chance to showcase Prairie to Rocher, this being their 300th anniversary. They have had a very good year for it. They have been able to showcase the improvements that they've been able to make in the communities and throughout the area. And of course we are working on the idea of a national park status, national monument status for the Prairie to Rocher area, and I'm happy to see that moving forward as well. And this all showcases why this is a very good opportunity for this area. So it's very nice to see a good news story, things coming out that are very positive, and how our area has been able to move forward and improve itself through its local control. So I was happy to see that.
The national park status, that would not only bring in more income to help keep things up there, it would also bring in put it in the national spotlight.
Well, yes, it puts us in the national spotlight for tourism, which obviously is going to help the area for tourism, which is is a substantial portion of our revenues here in our general revenues here in Randolph County, but it gives us national attention. It also raises the level of the protectiveness that the Army Corps of Engineers will give to the levees in our area, because it now is a national park, national monument type status. It just improves everything all around and just provides many more opportunities. There's really no downside to the aspect of it. It just provides much greater opportunities for the area. And tourism is a lot of what that area is. Well, tourism and agriculture are the two main activities of the area. You see that with the fort down there that they have and the historical sites and all that area. And it's very nice.
Being a history buff, I've always enjoyed just kind of walking and strolling through the forts down there. And
oh, it is. And it highlights a very good portion of the French historic sites of this area. We actually had some through the Daughters of the American Revolution actually came through about 2 months ago, and they were placing plaques from the various different historic sites from the French movements up the Mississippi River and on up through the Illinois River up into the Chicago area. And there are many, you notice many historic French names. Well, even St. Louis, the city, is a French name. It's a French settlement originally, as is Prairie de Rocher. That's very much French in its name. And you see the French names up Pierre Menard and the French names up the Mississippi River, which was a major part of the settlements that they took place roughly 300 years ago. So it's nice to see them honored. It's nice to see that as a part of our heritage. It's a very important part of our heritage, and to be able to showcase what we have with it.
I got a little over 4 minutes left. Anything else going on?
Besides that, I have mentioned before, and I'll mention one more time on the Enterprise Zone. It covers our area. It was something that came in on the 1st of 2000. And over a period of time, of course, there was the COVID issues in there that slowed everything down. But over a period of time, we've had some nice progress through the use of that. There's been two industrial aspects that were able to take advantage of the Enterprise Zone here in Randolph County. And there's been about 10 different projects from the Enterprise Zone up in Monroe County. And those have all been very beneficial. And, of course, we have that available for the next 17 years. And it covers the areas in Randolph County of Redbud and Evansville, Chester, and Sparta. And so it provides opportunities for economic growth through there, as well as our TIF districts that are available. And that's been a big improvement. We're happy to see those moving forward and helping things along.
So, Like you'd mentioned, a lot of it up around Columbia and that, but
but it helps any development in the area helps the whole area. Obviously, you want development, or we would like to see the development in Randolph County, but even if the development is in Monroe County or in Washington County or Perry County, it still helps the whole region as a total. Because we are a regional group in economic development. You can't just think one town or one community or one area. You have to think of the whole area in general, and it helps and supports the whole area in general. And that's the important part about doing that as we work forward to see some other development. There are a couple of other proposed developments for possibly some industrial processes that will take place and growth here in Randolph County. And we're looking forward to see how those will flush out. Of course, until these individuals make their, public announcements, and there's not a whole lot you can say about it, but there's different industries that are looking at locating here, and I'm hoping that they will choose this area. It's I know Southern Illinois, and sometimes Illinois itself is difficult to attract industry to. You don't always have the advantages that you're going to have in other areas, but we do have some advantages, and you want to make sure you showcase those and highlight what you do have available to help business out and to get them to locate here.
Right.
And everything we do for development pushes forward and helps that whole process in total.
Right. A little over a minute left. What about the bridge project down in Chester?
Yes, the Chester Bridge is moving forward. The Missouri Department of Transportation, MoDOT, is in the process of taking bids. It's a design bid build project from four contractors that they had selected. It is my understanding that they're supposed to have their proposals from each of the contractors in by the end of this year. Their plan is to award the bid for the new bridge first part of 23, and for them to actually begin construction on that in the spring of 23, with a completion date projected for December 31st of 25. Now, that seems pretty optimistic to me to actually be able to get it accomplished in four-year period of time, or actually a three-year period of time. Mm-hmm. But once they began and it's moving forward, you know it's going to take place. And if you've been across the Chester Bridge recently, you know it's in pretty rough shape.
Yeah.
And it is one of those that is really in need of replacement. And this will be located, as I understand it, just to upstream. I'll say upstream instead of north of it. Just almost side by side on the upstream side of the bridge, curving back around into the same basic roadway as they have now. That is their basic plan they're proceeding with. So even if they're a year late in completing it, we're moving forward and we have purpose and progress now. So I'm happy to see that as well. That is going to be very important for our economic development of this area. Many people travel from Missouri into Chester, and many people travel from Chester over into Missouri for work. And so it becomes a very important part of the aspect.
Exactly. All right, well, sounds like we're about out of time.
But I'd like to wish everyone a very wonderful Thanksgiving week. I hope everyone has a good time. If they're traveling, be safe. Travel safely and see you back on the 1st of December.
We will do that. You have a happy Thanksgiving, too.
Thank you very much.
For The People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you tomorrow.